This is the Crosspoint Sermon Audio from Carrollton, Texas.
For the better part of my life, boy, that seems really cheesy now. Okay, I'm going to do it anyway. For the better part of my life, I understood that to be holy meant to be perfect, especially in spiritual matters. You know, the do's and don'ts of life. However, one day I was driving down the road and that idea all changed for me. See, back in 2007, my wife Kylie and I had just moved back to Dallas, and we had started attending this little church. And the people there were a little different. You guys may have seen this church. It's over. It used to be over off George Bush near Kelly. Never mind. Crazy folk. Well, this church, yeah. They talked about what my family would consider liberal topics, things like the environment and social justice. They talked about meditation and practicing yoga and drinking organic coffee. Not at all what I was used to. You see, even though I was not raised in a religious home, I was raised very conservatively. And the idea that a church would be discussing these sort of topics made me a little uneasy. And I couldn't help but think, well, what's next? Holistic holiness? Holistic medicine? And because I enjoy dissecting words, I began thinking about the word holistic. And I noticed that it starts with the prefix H-O-L-I, holy. Well, that got me thinking about the fact that there's a part in the Bible where God commands us to be holy because he is holy. And as I began reflecting on the word holy and my own holiness, I realized that it too began with H-O-L-I. And this got me thinking, is there a connection? Well, immediately my mind laughed at the thought of introducing the idea and the concept of holistic holiness to the average suburban American churchgoer. I was sure they would label me some sort of a heretic and New Age hippie. And quite honestly, the little Republican that still lived inside me bristled at the thought. But then something very strange happened. I would be reading the Bible or listening to a sermon or hearing a song and talking with friends, and something would come up that actually seemed to fit the concept of a holistic approach to holiness. Inadvertently, I would chuckle to myself at such a crazy notion, and Kylie would ask me what I was laughing about. And I would point out the little connections that I saw. And it got to the point where I couldn't go more than a few days without seeing these connections all over the place. After a while, Kylie and I would just turn to each other and go, holistic holiness. This term came to represent a new way of approaching my walk with God. Which brings us to today. Good morning. My name is David Knight. I'm the DNA accelerator around Crosspoint, for those of you who don't know me. Our lead pastor and story shaper, Dave Wallstead, is currently in Uganda on a mission trip with our missional partnership, the Uganda Children's Project. He's over there with Bill Boland, one of our congregation members. And so normally when Dave leaves town, he kind of gives me some sort of a topic to talk about, some sort of a theme to stick with. We just finished a big series called Mythbusters, and we're getting ready to go into another series that's going to be pretty big. So this time he didn't have anything for me. So for the next 2 weeks, you guys get me talking about this. And what we're going to talk about is this idea of holistic holiness and some of the lessons that I've learned and that I continue to learn that have kind of formed my own approach. Please understand that I don't consider anything that I'm going to talk about to be the end-all and be-all of what holiness is about. In fact, as I've been doing some research and study, I've found other people who have different thoughts, and that's okay. Fortunately, my kind of approach allows for that. These are simply the ideas and thoughts that have helped to stimulate and encourage my own spiritual growth, and hopefully you guys get something out of this. But before we get into all that, I would like to pray, if you guys don't mind, for just a moment. Father God, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for the people who are here with us. We thank you for the reports we've heard about Pastor Dave and Bill in Uganda and all the great stuff they're doing over there. This morning, I do pray that you will speak through me, that it's not my words that are coming out, but it's the words and the message that you laid on my heart. I pray that hearts will be open to hear what you have to speak through me, and that this will be just a morning that will benefit us all as we seek to glorify and honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. So what is holistic holiness? Well, some of you who get the e-blast, I put a little blurb in there about what it is, but essentially it's kind of a way of trying to live towards God's call on us to be holy as he is holy. It sees holiness as being less of a chore to say and do the right things for God and more about the opportunity for the joy and adventure that comes from a relationship with him. It's about having his word and his spirit become so entwined with who you are that you can't help but experience and cherish that relationship with God every moment of the day. It's about having such a deeply personal relationship with him that your entire life is profoundly changed with every area of your life experiencing transformation. That's kind of a big thing to put forth. So let me ask you guys a question. When I say the word holy or holiness, what pops in your mind? Anybody? What's that?
Priest.
Okay, good. What else? Any? Some feedback would be good.
Holy water.
Holy water. Communion. Okay. Christ. Good. Rules. Being pure or impure? Being pure. Okay. I just want to get that right. All right. Well, so then let's take a moment. What's that?
Set apart.
I thought you said South Park. And I was just thinking. I know, right? Sorry, guys. Set apart. Oh, that's a good one. Hang on to that for a moment. We'll come back to that. Well, I guess the first thing, if we're going to talk about holistic holiness, the first thing we have to do is kind of see how these words are connected. Now, according to Jerry Bridges in his book, The Pursuit of Holiness, he says this. He says, God's holiness is perfect freedom from all evil and perfect conformity to his divine character. That is, all of his thoughts and actions are consistent with his holy character. Now, for me, and I'm going to try to make this make sense, that's the key right there. God's consistency is in part what makes him holy and part of what he's calling us to do. So we'll try to get back to that. So let's start with definitions of holiness. Come up on the screen here, and I'll step out of the way so you guys can kind of read this. Hopefully I don't get the feedback I was looking for. All right, so holiness is the state or quality of being holy. And so what is holy? Well, holy is having a spiritually pure quality. I think most of us can kind of relate to that, right? To having a spiritually pure quality. We think of a holy man, they're spiritually pure person. Here's what I find interesting. The English word holy dates back to at least the 11th century with the old English word heilig. Does anybody know how to pronounce that? It's got, what's that? Heilig. Thank you. It's got the long, anyways. An adjective derived from the word, from hal, meaning whole and complete. Okay? So whole and complete, which kind of interestingly goes back to what I was talking about just a moment ago. Well, so now let's take a look at the word holistic and see where this fits in. Holistic is relating to or concerned with wholes or with complete systems rather than with the analysis or treatment of or dissection into parts. It's derived from the Greek root holos, meaning whole or complete. So you notice that there? They both derive from a root that means whole or complete. And I think that's really interesting because I think, especially as we talked about God's consistency, it's whole, it's complete. There's no pieces that don't fit with who he is. So let's take a look at the verse I talked about earlier where God says, be holy as I'm holy. And actually, let's all read this together if you don't mind. It's from 1 Peter. Says, well, I'll step out of the way again. This is tough. I don't know how Dave does this every week. All right. We'll read together. But now you must be holy in everything you do, just as God who chose you is holy. For the scriptures say, you must be holy because I am holy. And now when I first started thinking about this holistic holiness idea, I went and I looked at that particular verse, and I thought, how am I supposed to be holy? You know, God is holy, I get that, but how can I possibly be holy? That seems like a huge, huge task. So that kind of begs the question, what is God's holiness like? And again, if you look at what Jerry Bridges was saying, it's complete, it's whole, it's consistency in his character. So how does that work? How can we be holy? Well, I think for us, it really goes back to how were we created? You know, we've talked about this over and over again, and any time I get up to speak, I almost always bring up this passage, and some of you might get tired of it, but I love this. So we're going to go to Genesis 1:27, and it says, so God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Read that again. You guys read that out loud for me. I want to hear you guys say that.
So God created
I love this particular verse. And it gives us one of my absolute favorite phrases of all time, which is Imago Dei. It means the image of God. It states that we were created in God's image. I think if we're ever going to hope to figure out how to be holy as he's holy, we have to recognize that we were created to be like him. In fact, in some translations, that particular piece is translated, he created them godlike. Now, I don't know about you, but the first time I read that particular translation or heard that particular piece, that kind of scared me a little bit. Godlike. We were created godlike. How does that work? I mean, I think, you know, if we all look at our own lives, we'll recognize we're pretty far from being godlike. But as we've talked about over and over and over again here, we are created in his image. We are designed to be reflectors of him into this world. We're designed to reflect his nature and who he is to the people around us. And that includes his holiness, his consistency of character. You see, whether you feel like it or not right now, your words, actions, and countenance, your entire being is a reflection of God to this fallen world. How you respond to and initiate events, especially if you identify yourself as a Christian, will give people a glimpse at how you see God. Some of you may remember one of the lessons I spoke, I talked about how you see God affects the way you see everything else in life. It's the same thing here. How you see God is going to affect how you portray his image to everybody else around you because you were created in his image. So you're made in his image, but the problem comes when we don't live up to that. The problem comes when we fail to take up the mantle that's been placed upon us. And I think that's because too often it looks and feels like drudgery or the rules that I heard somebody mention earlier. You know, it feels like this is all this work that I have to do this, I can't do that. And I believe that personally for me, learning to be holy as God is holy has been one of the greatest adventures I've ever had the opportunity to embark upon. It's for me, it allows me to approach and understand God holistically, seeing him not just for the things I have to say and do for him, but the relationship I get to share with him. And that grows out of being made in his image and that opportunity. And I'm not trying to say that we can ever be God. I'm not trying to say that there's going to be a point where we're throwing thunderbolts or, you know, whatever your image of God is. But we can move towards God-likeness. Pastor Dave has this phrase. If any of you ever read his blog, you've probably seen this, and I highly recommend you read his blog. But he says, and it's in regards to spiritual transformation. He says this: spiritual transformation is moving from the image of God in which we were created to the likeness of God for which we were created. It recognizes that we were created in this image of God, but it's broken, it's fallen, and we have to move back to the likeness of God that he's calling us to be. I love that. We need to wear proudly our likeness of God and bring consistent conformity to that which he's already placed inside of us. Now, Carl, you mentioned earlier when I asked about what does being holy mean, you mentioned set apart? South Park, yes, thank you. South Park. Kenny! That was awful, sorry. And we've used that here before, that definition of holy. However, the way we've used it here has been a two-part definition where it's set apart. Does anybody remember the second part? Not South Park. For a purpose. We're not just set apart to kind of stay over here and not engage. We are set apart for a purpose. And God's purpose is called the Missio Dei, or God's mission, which is also another phrase I like. And if we're going to be part of God's whole story, as we've talked about, we have to seek to find what our purpose is, what our role is in his Missio Dei. And this is, okay, I'm just going to tell you this next part that I'm about to read came from Wikipedia, so I can't guarantee its accuracy. But I liked it, so we're going to use it. Speaking on behalf of the Gospel and Our Culture Network, Daryl Gutter, Gutter's a terrible name. We have, Daryl Gutter writes, "We have come to see that mission is not merely an activity of the church. Rather, mission is the result of God's initiative, rooted in God's purposes, to restore and heal creation. Mission means sending, and it is the central biblical theme describing the purpose of God's action in human history. We have begun to learn that the biblical message is more radical, more inclusive, more transforming than we have allowed it to be. In particular, we have begun to see that the Church of Jesus Christ is not the purpose or goal of the gospel, but rather its instrument and witness. God's mission is calling and sending us, the Church of Jesus Christ, to be a missionary church in our own societies, in the cultures in which we find ourselves. We as the church are on a mission. If you identify yourself as a Christian, you have a purpose. Your purpose is not to come to church on Sunday mornings, hear a halfway decent message, maybe sing some songs and go home. Your purpose is to go out and, well, let's take a look at this. Who here has heard of the Westminster Shorter Catechism? My Presbyterian friends. For those of you who don't know, and correct me if I'm wrong, Peter, because I probably am, but the idea of the Westminster Shorter Catechism is essentially a way to help educate lay people on doctrine and belief. Is that roughly accurate assessment? You'll take that? And essentially what they do is they use this kind of question and answer format to help, and it's usually used for like children or new believers to help them understand, but it's a question and answer format, so they ask this question and then you give the answer to it. And assuming you get all the answers right, there's a prize? No, actually, in some churches there is. Actually, in some churches, if you can answer all the questions, you go home with the Bible, which is cool. I'm not giving a Bible away today. But here's what I find interesting when it comes to our part in the mission, is the very first question that's asked in the Westminster Shorter Catechism is, what is the chief end of man? To which the response is,
chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy him forever.
That's right. What's that? You get a hug later on. How's that? That's right. For those of you who didn't hear, the man's chief end is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. Once again, a twofold sort of thing. And they get this. One of the biblical proofs they use for this is in 1 Corinthians 10:31, and we're going to bring that up on the screen. It says, "So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God." Whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Some of you know I really like the Message translation on some things, not everything. Thanks, Sean. But I really liked it here. I'll read it to you. "So eat your meals heartily, not worrying about what others say about you. You're eating to God's glory after all, not to please them. As a matter of fact, do everything that way, heartily and freely to God's glory." How many of us live our lives like that, as though every moment is infused with the possibility and the opportunity to glorify God and enjoy him? I know I don't always do that, but I do think that's part of being holistically holy. I do think that's part of why we're here. I noticed that, in fact, I did this last night. How many times do we eat as though we're eating for God's glory? Now, to be honest with you, sometimes in and out, it's like, praise God. But I noticed that at times, we start our meals off with a blessing, right? We do the, you know, God bless this meal, thank you for this time together, da 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 da. And that's kind of the end of our of recognizing the sacredness of our time of eating. That's pretty much where I leave it most of the time. I don't know about you guys, but this is calling us to recognize even in the eating process, it's for God's glory. I think also this relates to so many things. And I'm going to talk about more of this next week. So if you want to hear some stuff, come next week. It's my little tease. But I'm going to, one of the things I think about is that, and don't misunderstand me, because one of the things, I'll talk about more next week is a lot of this is geared towards how God made you specifically. But I don't want to get there just yet. But, you know, so often I hear people say, you know, they don't like to pray out loud, and that's okay. But I think sometimes God wants us to. He gives us that opportunity to kind of glorify him in a public arena. Sometimes we come into church and, you know, there's the band does an amazing job of playing music, don't they? Yeah? But that's not why they're here. They're not here just to give us a free concert, right? They're here to lead us in worship, to give us an opportunity to say to God, thank you, say we love you, and we're going to enjoy you forever, and we're going to glorify you everywhere we go. That's the opportunity. I know for me, and this is, like I said, this is so much of my journey, but for me, it used to be I'd go into church, right, and I'm sitting, and they'd say, you know, stand, okay, and we're going to sing a song, words are up on the screen, and here's how I would sing a song. Our God is an awesome God, raised from heaven above. Right? But we get that opportunity to enjoy and glorify him. And I think when we begin to truly live out our Imago Dei and truly understand our part in the Missio Dei, we take our steps towards becoming more fully human. We've talked about that here again. So much of what I'm going to talk about today and next week comes back to the things that I've heard here. I don't know about you guys, but for me, Crosspoint has been truly, truly transformative. Being under Dave's teaching here and hearing the things he has to say and how he draws me into a deeper relationship with God has just been massive. And one of the things we've talked about is being fully human. For me, being fully human means embracing our design. It recognizes that we not only have freedom to enjoy and glorify God, but there are also some limitations that we have to be aware of. And I got to be real honest with you guys. This next part I'm going to talk about made me uncomfortable, okay? I really wanted my holistic holiness message to be God is love and all things are good and everything is fabulous. But as I kept reading more and more, I realized that there are elements that I have to address. There are elements that need to be taken into consideration. Now, understand, I don't put my focus and my attention on this, but it is a part of what forms my opinion, what helps me to think through things I'm going to do. Let's just get to it. Romans 13:13-14. Because we belong to the day, we must live decent lives for all to see. Don't participate in the darkness of wild parties and drunkenness, or in sexual promiscuity and immoral living, or in quarreling and jealousy. Instead, clothe yourself with the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, and don't let yourself think about ways to indulge your evil desires. That one's a tough one for me. That one's a tough one because it's so easy to fall back into those things. And it becomes easy, too, I think, for people to put their focus on what are you doing right? What are you doing wrong? And it's so much more. God's holiness is so much more than that. I think part of the problem comes from our understanding of our human condition. We lament being human. We think about this and we stop at the things that we shouldn't do and get focused on all the temptations that trip us up. We worry about all the ways that we think of to indulge our evil desires, right? And we think that maybe, you know, we're not meant to be human because human is that. That's human. I don't want to be that. I'm supposed to be an angel, right? I'm supposed to be this perfect being that, and the thing is, we were created as humans. We weren't created as any other beings. We were created as humans that were set apart for a purpose. God had a reason for making us the way we are. Being human is a beautiful thing when we embrace being fully human. I had a friend once who said that they were looking forward to going to heaven because they no longer had to be human. For me, that's sad. For me, that's sad. I think God has created us to be who we are, and we need to embrace that. We need to recognize that He has a purpose for our lives. And I agree that as humans, we are imperfect. I mean, let's face it. This side of eternity, we're never going to, you know, we're never going to follow all the commandments. We're never going to do everything right. I get that. But we do have an example that we get to follow in Christ. And it says, clothe yourself with the presence of Christ. Christ is our example. The beautiful thing is that even though Christ was fully God, what else was he? Fully man. See, Christ came and showed us what it was like to live a fully human life. There's actually a line of thought, and I don't know if I agree with this yet or not, but there's a line of thought that says some of the miraculous things that Jesus did were a result of his humanity rather than a result of his divinity. Even Christ went on to say that his followers would do greater things than even he did. Well, how can that be if you know, we only have the human part, and if it's so wretched and it's so bad, how can we possibly do all these great things that Christ is saying we can? Well, I think it comes when we embrace our full humanity, recognizing what we were really meant to be. So maybe being human isn't such a bad thing after all. And that brings us to the last element that I'm going to talk about this week of holistic holiness that I call whole being spirituality. Thanks. The idea of this is that in our holiness, there should not be found any brokenness. It should be a whole being, or whole being. Get it? Whole being. All right, never mind. Essentially, there should be unity in all that we do. There should be consistency of character in everything that we do. And I think that all comes as a result of our holiness, recognizing our image of God, being a part of the mission of God, and recognizing our full humanity. And I use the term whole being because it's kind of like coffee. I don't know if you guys buy coffee. Most of us do. And you have a choice, right? You can either buy whole bean coffee or you can buy pre-ground coffee, right? And I always laugh because I pull up to the Starbucks window and I say, I need a bag of whole bean Cafe Estima coffee, please. And they say, would you like that ground? No, you already have it. The interesting thing is that with whole bean, the coffee stays fresher longer. The freshness of ground coffee gets lost in a matter of minutes since its protective cellular structure, yeah, you can tell these are my words, right? Its protective cellular structure has been broken, and the volatiles have been exposed to the environment to undergo oxidation. Essentially, the outside of the bean protects the inside of the bean, keeps it fresh. And I think in the same way, our freshness or our ability to impact the world for God's glory gets lost if there are chinks in our armor, gets lost if there's not consistency in our character, gets lost if there's not wholeness to who we are. Let's take a look real quick at one last verse, Matthew 5:48, and read this with me. Don't come over here. I haven't been to this side of the audience. Hey, guys. But you are to be perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. Yikes. Exactly. Yikes. And this is another one of those verses that we read and we think, man, that's like being holy and perfect, and I can't do that. I'm not good at that. Interesting thing is the way perfect is used in this context, it literally translates to whole or complete. Once again, we're back to that whole and complete piece. We are designed to be whole, to be holistic, to be whole-beamed. That sounds weird. So my point is, you need to be what you were meant to be what you were created to be. Engage the image and likeness of God that is within you through Christ. Glorify and enjoy him in all that you do. Be fully human as you were created to be. You don't have to be perfect in comparison to someone else, okay? That's one of the keys you need to understand. This is key to you. You don't have to measure up to anybody else. All you have to do is measure up to what God has placed inside you and who he's created you to be. Now, next week, we're going to develop this a little further. I'm going to go into a little more detail about how do you play this out, how do you, you know, what are ways you can strengthen this, and what are ways that it impacts the rest of the world, and then how do you go forth using that. But that's next week, so you guys all have to come back. But let's pray for a moment. Father God, I thank you for this time this morning. Lord, coming to see my need to be holistically holy has transformed how I relate to you. It's transformed how I've related to the world around me, to my friends, to my family, even to people I don't like. And I thank you that you've kind of shown me this path. I pray that it was meaningful for somebody here this morning. I pray that at least one person walks out of here with a desire to grow closer to you and a recognition of all that you've done for them. I pray that as we go into this time of worship, that you will speak into our hearts. You will move us. You will help us to recognize that we are meant to enjoy you forever and to glorify you in all that we do. I thank you for the opportunity to be here this morning, and just pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
This has been the Crosspoint Sermon Audio from Carrollton, Texas. For more information about our church, visit www.crosspoint.com.